Shocker, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
Well, my mud flaps are on the right way, Ryan, so it's a good Thursday afternoon for me, buddy.
Well, aren't you just Mr. Handyman, eh? Mr. I know how to do everything just the right way. Don't ever make a mistake. No, you haven't never made a mistake.
Shocker,
ever,
like,
Mark.
Let's be honest. Like, to top putting your mud flaps on backwards is going to take a bit.
You know what's even funnier, as I crawl further under the bus than Majot's already thrown me today, is that I totally relate to that. That's how I check and see if the iron is on. I hold it up to my face.
Yeah.
I don't put it on my face, but I just see if you can feel the heat coming off of it.
Why not just put your hand close to it?
My cheek.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah, you and Brian, like, seriously, that's got to be the dumbest injury.
But you can't tell with your hand, because your hand generally, like, it's more callous, so you can't really tell with your hand, but your face, you can feel the heat emanating off of the iron.
Whoa. Did you just try to tell me that you have calluses on your soft little princess TV boy hands? There's no calluses on those hands.
It's from the gym.
The calluses on my
hands. Majot can relate to that. It's from guitar.
Oh, man, that's so awesome. The calluses on my hands.
I work, man. I do outside stuff. I have a rake. I had shovels this winter. I do stuff outside all the time, man.
But I know you wear gloves when you do it, so it's all good. Edmonton Oilers, 11 players in one season playing their first NHL game, which is I'm waiting on confirmation from Elias, but that's got to be a record, excluding an expansion team. Two more tonight, of course, Hamilton and Lauren Brossoit. You know, I looked at Brossoit's numbers, being a very good first year in the American Hockey League, no doubt for him. But you know, this is a guy. Regardless of what he does tonight, or even if he plays again on Saturday, I please hope the Oilers, this is just a reward, nothing more, regardless of how he plays, to think, hey, maybe next year he could be a guy who helps us.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine that they're thinking that. I think they know goalies take a little longer. His numbers have been okay in the minors, but I don't think they necessarily warrant, hey, this guy's got to get to the NHL right away.
No, not at all. His goals...
Like, his numbers are okay. Like, he's done well, and he played a whole pile of games in a row. So he's kind of learning to play the pro game, you know, the tough way, by piling game after game after game, and that's all good. The thing I really like about Laurent Brossoit, he's in incredible shape. He's a very well-conditioned athlete, so you know he's putting the work in. He's developing nicely, and they just need to leave him there, because maybe one day down the road, the guy could be potentially their starter, but that's way down the road. They need to just let him do his thing in the minors and not rush him. And that's why... You know, they'll have Scrivens next year. They'll still try and get this O'Connor guy. They'll probably chase some sort of a starter in the offseason here. They've got to give themselves some more organizational depth at the position. I can't see them rushing this guy.
What do you think? Curtis Hamilton, RFA, does he get a contract in the summer?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he's one of these guys who's kind of come on just this year, right? Like, he hadn't really done a lot as a pro in his, three and a half seasons in the American League. I mean, you look at his totals, 5 goals in 41 games, 5 goals in 61 games, 8 goals in 43 games. I mean, now this year he's pushing half a point per game, which, I mean, that's much better production from him. So he's only 23 years old, and I think people need to kind of remember that guys don't all develop at 21, 22. Some guys develop a little bit later. He's 6'3", 200 pounds, doesn't play the game very hard, but he's a bigger body. So, yeah, I mean, if I were the Oilers and he finishes strong and if he looks okay, I wouldn't have a problem qualifying him. I wouldn't have a problem keeping him around if he looks like maybe he's developing now. It took a little longer than they would have liked. He was a very good junior player, very good player for the Canadian World Junior Team, two-way player. Not everybody has to be as good as they're going to be by 24. Some guys can come along a little bit later. Anton Lander's a great example of that. So I would look at keeping him around if he's showing strong towards the end of the year. Here he is, and see what kind of playoff he has down there.
Ryan Schalk from TSN joins us.
By the way, would you cut him loose?
No, I thought, you know, for one more year, it's a two-way deal. I don't see a problem with it. Bigger body, but I'm like you. My concern on Hamilton is, you know, is he going to play the game the way he needs to play to be at the NHL, right? Like the NHL, yeah. The Oilers, they just can't add more forwards who just don't excel in one thing, right? Like if you're not going to be a point producer, fine, then you better be a great penalty killer, or you better be a guy who's just ferocious and tenacious and does that, right? And I'm not really sure what he does.
Yeah, he is not. He's not ferocious. So, yeah, I mean, he's like, I don't know. Can he be Fernando Pisani someday? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But that would be the mold, right? A bigger guy doesn't play very physical, but he will step in front of people, you know, when he gets the chance. So yeah, I mean, you can't just go throwing out second rounder after second rounder because they're not ready at 22, 23 years old. I mean, sometimes you got to wait a little bit longer for guys, and that's what the system allows for. I mean, other than needing to stay close to 50 contracts, the system allows for you to take a look at guys until they're 25 or 26 years old. So, you know, why not? And really, I mean, the interesting one for me this year is going to be what they do with Marc-Olivier Roy, because he was that second round pick that they took. I think it was, what was it, 13 or was it 12 where he was drafted?
13 in the second round.
In the second round. And, I mean, there's a very good chance they're not going to give this guy a contract. A very good chance. And that, though, I mean, we're going to see what happens through the playoffs and Mem Cup and all that, but there's a very good chance that this guy doesn't get signed. And this is a second round pick. And actually, if people have read Bob McKenzie's second book here, there's actually, he's in that book. And he is the example of using advanced metrics at the draft. So the Oilers sort of dug into that a little bit, and their advanced stats people said to them, this is the player you need to draft. Based on analytics, he has really good potential to pan out at the NHL level based on a whole bunch of variables. And so the Oilers drafted him much higher than their scouts wanted to, but they're using him as the test study for analytics at the draft and advanced metrics at the draft. And it's been a real struggle. He's had a really, really mediocre year and might go back into the draft.
Yeah, well, I was looking at that 13. There's a few guys in that second round that actually might go back in the draft, funny enough. But, yeah, I think, you know, you can use analytics as one thing. If it becomes the major focus, that's your problem. If you believe that numbers tell you everything, then you're delusional. Because
I've never understood how advanced can the metrics be on Canadian Hockey League players. Because, I mean, the games aren't tracked the same. They don't track all the same metrics that they track at the NHL level, so you can extrapolate all these different stuff. I mean, how do you figure out what a guy's Corsi looks like at the junior level when those things aren't tracked and aren't on the game summaries? Like, how accurate can it be? I don't know. They must put time and effort into it. It can't just be I'm sure it's just not a guessing game.
No, I don't discount that. But to me, there's so many other intangibles. That would be one I would look at. But the one thing, the first priority to me would be, does he have skill? That would be the number one priority, especially
which
when you're...
Did. I mean, his numbers weren't...
Yeah, they were okay.
Yeah, like his numbers weren't terrible. I mean, they definitely picked him higher than probably anybody else would have. But they wanted to get him because their analytics people, Dan Height and such, this is the guy you got to go get. And it says it in Bobby's book. They probably drafted him higher than they would have. And he was going to kind of be the test study for if this analytics in the draft, if it worked. I mean, you know, he had close to 30 goals in the queue. And this year, I mean, in 60 games played, he's got 50 points, 26 goals, and that's, you know, he's 20 years old right now. So it's, you know, here's another example of a miss in a decent draft position.
Shogar, looking to, you know, the future of the Edmonton Oilers, and tonight's lineup's really not an accurate one because there's so much injuries on the defense. The only guy who was here for game one was Justin Schultz. At least who was in the lineup for game one, who's playing tonight. And I think there's five forwards that played in the first game that are playing tonight. So, you know, it's not necessarily an accurate one. But when you look at guys, like another RFA is Matt Fraser. Do you give him an offer sheet? Do you qualify him?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, they got him for nothing. I mean, he got his first point in, what, 20-some-odd games the other night?
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't shown a dimension to me. I mean... Like I've seen, he's got a great shot. He's got a really nice snapshot. He's got a heavy shot, but he doesn't get it off enough, and he's not a physical enough player. He's not that quick. There isn't a dimension there for me. he's basically just filler. Now, you know, he's maybe a serviceable 13th forward, but you probably find guys that have a dimension that at least have, you know, you like Klinkhammer maybe, at least Klinkhammer skates around and hits everybody he can get his hands on, right? Fraser doesn't he lacks that dimension that you were just talking about, and I just don't think you can give guys spots like that, you know, I mean, maybe for the minors on a two-way deal. I mean, maybe if they have spots to fill and they need guys.
Yeah, but then
I would eyeball him on the roster.
Yeah, see, you'd have to qualify him then first. And when you look at all of the new guys they've got coming in that are turning pro this year, I just don't see the room.
Yeah, and they've signed a few guys here. I mean, they've made some moves and signed some guys, and they're going to take a look at guys at the pro level next year. So, yeah, I mean, they needed. It was kind of funny when they picked him up because they really didn't need him at that time. Hey, it seemed like they were pretty stocked as it was, and you know they've given him a reasonable look. And I just don't see signs of a guy that's ready to be a consistent NHLer. There just isn't a dimension there.
No, and that's the great word is dimension. And I find there's too many guys who just, you know, they're one dimensional. They don't have a dimension. Then, you know, if you're a great skill player, I'll live with that one. But there's a lot of guys who don't even seem to have that right now.
Well, you would be happy to take a guy with one dimension as long as he had it, as long as it was something. It was okay. Like Klinkhammer's a pretty one dimensional player. I mean, he skates and he hits and he keeps it really simple with the plays he makes. He gets the odd scoring chance. He does the best that he can in his own zone, but the guy hits. That's what he does. One-dimensional player. That's okay. Because there's room for that on a fourth line somewhere or in the press box, right? There's room for that. But you can't have someone who just kind of doesn't really excel at anything or doesn't even try really to. I mean, there's nothing. What's he trying to make his own? I don't see it.
And lastly, from your sources, you hearing anything on Slepyshev? Do you think he's coming over next season?
I don't know. I haven't been asking around about him. I'm not sure what the situation is. It's funny. I think I was looking on HF.
Yeah, he's got 15 goals in the KHL this year, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, like it looks like he's having a decent year.
Well, I've talked to guys who I know that they're high on him. They like what he brings. It's just a matter of no one can. I couldn't get a straight answer if they think it's possible he's coming over and would be like Yakimov.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to it. You know, they can use all the skill that they can get. That's for sure. So we'll have to wait and see if he comes over. Yakimov will be an interesting one to keep an eye on here as they move forward too. Like, you know, the season he had, the size he has. You know, and if maybe he can put a dent in, at least take a run at a spot next season. So we'll see what happens here at the draft and how many centers they end up with. But yeah, I'm not sure on Slepyshev.
Shogar, have a good one. Enjoy the final home game of the season.
All right, you too, pal.